You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
Let's go to the movies with actor, acting teacher, and movie maven Mike Schaefer on film on Wine Country Live.
He's a maven, and he's with us right now, Mike Schaefer on film. Good morning, sir.
I'm just happy to be here, Barry Martin.
Right. On the whole, I'd rather be in Philadelphia, though.
Right on, baby. Right off the bat, I just want to wish the master of action filmmaking, Akira Kurosawa, was born today, 111 years ago. Mm. So, unquestionably. And Barry, I don't think there's an action filmmaker who wouldn't tip his hat to Kurosawa, and specifically The Seven Samurai.
Great, great film. But you know, the one that really had the bigger impact on me was Rashomon.
Oh, Rashomon is beautiful.
I love
that
movie.
What a masterpiece.
That was really a kind of a game changer for me about the kind of cinema that I was not, you know, accustomed to, not kind of movies I saw growing up. And, you know, that era when we started to have access to things because of VHS rentals and whatnot, you could watch more widely. That was a real game changer for me.
Or back in the day, and you may recall, when colleges would often have screenings of foreign films. And I've actually screened this for younger folks who had no context and were somewhat not dismissive of a black and white foreign movie with subtitles. But my goodness gracious, I mean, not even halfway into it, and you kind of look over and just see that amazement on their faces. They're like, this is a great movie. And I'm like, you see, I told you, sometimes Uncle Mike knows a thing or two about a thing or two.
I have to relate another personal experience in that regard. In college, and I took a couple of film classes. One of them was films about the city, like the urban experience.
Yeah.
And I think the first film we saw was The Crowd, which is a silent from
26.
And that it was exactly that thing. Like, my only experience of a silent film was a few seconds of, you know, Buster Keaton or the Keystone Cops or something that, you know, you didn't see the whole film. You just saw these clips once in a while. And to see an entire artfully crafted, beautifully photographed silent film that just knocked your socks off, you know, at the end of you're in tears at the end of the film. And you know, realize the power of the image, you know.
And blown away by the fact that these guys in the 20s, they were inventing the technique.
Yeah, yeah.
They were laying the groundwork and the foundation of everything. So once again, happy birthday to the master, Akira Kurosawa. But
and what would he think of Justice League?
I love the way you do a segue. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we call big-time professional show business segue.
I'm just going to take a break now while I've done my work for now. You go.
Keeping score at home. So work with me on this, Barry, okay? And I just want to say right off the top, I mean, there's so much to unpack. No way I can really do the movie justice in 20 minutes or however much time I have left. But I just want to say it is a good movie. I liked it. It got under my skin, and I'm glad it exists. So I'm going to say that, and I may say it again, not so much to remind you or the folks at home, but to remind myself. So imagine, if you will, Barry Martin, imagine, if you will, there's a guy, regular Joe, sitting at home on a Saturday night on his couch. Maybe he's a guy a lot like you. So then he's got big, formidable biceps. So he's sitting there. And he picks up the remote and he's like, I'm a man. I'm a man who knows what he wants. And what I want tonight is big time action Hollywood extravaganza. Okay. And I want big A-list Hollywood stars doing what big A-list Hollywood stars do better than anyone else, which is blow stuff up. That's what I want. You pick up the remote, you got the HBO Max and you got the Justice League, right? Now they've got some movie stars. You got Ben Affleck as the Batman. You got Gal Gadot as the Wonder Woman. You got Diane Lane. You got Amy Adams playing Lois Lane. You've got two lanes for the price of one. You're like, I'm in. Okay? And the 4 hours running time, that doesn't mean anything to a guy like you. You could do 4 hours standing on your head. I know I did. So there's that. But and here's my but. So if you come into this thing as a casual viewer, okay, and you don't love the characters, and you haven't read the comic books, and specifically, if you're not familiar with the DCU, and what I mean by that is the DC Comics movie universe, okay? You haven't seen Man of Steel. You haven't seen Batman versus Superman. That's really important. Or Aquaman. Or Wonder Woman. But 5 minutes in, Barry, you will have these questions. What the heck is going on? How can Superman be dead? Sorry, spoiler alert, but the movie opens with his last dying gasps on the planet. So once again, having seen Batman versus Superman, there's a foundation that's been laid for you. Superman is dead. You may say to yourself, okay, fine, but who's this guy? Why is he so hostile? What's the deal with these three magic boxes? Where am I? What am I doing? What does it all mean? Okay. So unless you've invited some guy like me to sit there and help navigate you through it, and I would like to come to your apartment. I hear you have good snacks. I'm still waiting for my invitation. But you might be lost, okay? If you stick with it, I think you will gain something from it. I think it is an emotional film. It unpacks a lot, obviously, in 4 hours. But did I think it was worth it? And it took me, I'll be honest, it took me 2 days to finish the thing. Okay. And mostly because I started it late and I got to about 1 a.m. and at the 2 hour mark, and I'm like, I can't do it. And I picked it up again tomorrow. And then I had a chance to kind of revisit it again because I knew we'd be talking about it. So I wanted to come in fresh. But once again, I'm going to say, I'm glad the movie exists. I got under my skin. I think it works. And I think if you're one of those people who are on the fence about adding yet another streaming service, this time HBO Max, I'm going to say do it. Take the leap of faith. I think it's a really good movie. And I think, dare I say, it's sort of important and meaningful. And so, yeah, this is Mike saying very strong B. I hesitate to use the word masterpiece because I always want to save those for films like The Seven Samurai or Citizen Kane. And it's not even, I would say, the greatest superhero movie ever made. You know, I would reserve that for The Dark Knight or even the first Superman with Christopher Reeve from 77. But it's a good movie, Barry. I liked it a lot.
I'm fascinated, of course, by the fascination with all of these superhero movies. Having been somebody who, when that original Superman movie came out, I was enthralled by that. You know, Superman was my favorite hero of my childhood in comic books, cartoons, mm-hmm. the old black and white TV show. Nothing could be too fake for me. You know, I loved all that Superman concept. And then when Batman came along, that was also fun and cool and different. And I read the comic books. But, you know, that was kind of it for me. I didn't continue in being involved with all the various superhero characters. And so I don't have, like, a foundation of superhero lore and love, and the fascination with all of these new stories and characters, I'm kind of left in the dust. I have watched Wonder Woman. I have turned on various superhero movies when they're on TV. I usually cannot stay engaged with it very long. It becomes a big special effects show, and I check out, you know, because I don't want to watch CGI for hours on end. But you know, that's just me. I know this is, and I'm not going to, you know, poo-poo other people's joy, but it just leaves me, I don't know, I just cannot engage. I guess I can't fully suspend my disbeliefs, you know?
I will say, since Wonder Woman 84 came out, I don't know if you had a chance to see that, and we've heard the phrase, and I know what it means when you hear superhero fatigue, and I think that's kind of what you're hinting at. It's so many iterations of superhero movies, both from the DC universe and Marvel as well. And it seems like every 2 or 3 weeks, there's another superhero. In fact, now they're inventing superheroes. Mm-hmm. who aren't from the comic books. And, I was disappointed somewhat. I think Gal Gadot is still a stunning Wonder Woman. I think very much I liken that to her casting to Christopher Reeve, i.e. they really got lucky when they found her. I will say that all the Wonder Woman stuff, in fact, there's one sequence very early in Justice League, that's an action scene featuring Wonder Woman that doesn't really do anything to advance the plot, but it's better than anything that happens in Wonder Woman 84, okay? Hmm. I will also say, for the folks at home keeping score, is that this movie is a somber tome, okay? And what I mean, it is somewhat of a meditation for a superhero movie that has the requisite thrills and excitement and action set pieces. It is a meditation on grief. It is a meditation on regret and tragedy and loss. And all of this is informed by the fact. Now, there was a theatrical release. I don't know if you know, like, the whole backstory on the so-called Snyder Cut. That's what we're talking about now. There was a theatrical release that came out in 2017 that was a compromised film. They brought in Joss Whedon to come in to finish the movie. They reshot some stuff. They lobbed off about 2 hours of movie, basically forfeiting character development and character arc. Characters who really come, who really are able to breathe more fully in this cut were more or less relegated to, you know, not even supporting, basically day player roles in the theatrical cut. What happened back in 2017, the movie had wrapped. They were in post-production, but the movie was not finished. They still had to apply the special effects and lay down music and whatnot. Zack Snyder's daughter, Amanda, very tragically committed suicide. And I feel that watching that and knowing that that has had what happened, so when he was able to come back to finish that movie, that very tragic event informs pretty much every scene except for scenes that are mostly action-packed, advance the plot in an action way or comic relief. The Flash kind of supplies that. He's kind of like the Spider-Man character in the way that Spider-Man is portrayed in the Marvel movies as kind of a wise cracking, you know, young hip guy.
Yeah.
But it is a somber tone, so it is a decidedly darker film. The movie is actually dedicated to Amanda, and I found that to be quite touching. So it's that sort of thing and that realization where it gets under your skin a little bit, and the film takes on another form. It becomes another beast entirely, and it's not so easy to write off.
Yeah. Mike Schaefer on film, and we've been talking about the Zack Snyder Justice League, which is on HBO Max, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mike, yeah. I'm going to have to wrap a little early with you this week. We've got a news situation that I've become aware of. So I'm going to thank you for your time and look forward to talking to you next week. And yes, I do have good snacks, so we'll have to get together sometime.
Waiting for my invitation, right?
Barry. Okay. Talk to you later.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin.
On KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.